Advanced Studio Classroom is on the air. A business book that can help all of us be better employees. Hello, listeners. Welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. This is Bill Quinn, and today is September 14th, 2013, and I'm glad you're here. Hopefully, you were joining us for the second day today. Hopefully, you were here yesterday on our speed review lessons from Jack Welch's Executive Assistant. And this book is not about Jack Welch. This book is written by his longtime executive assistant at General Electric, Roseanne Badowski, and I think this book is probably one of the most relevant books that we've ever done as a speed review. We've had many, many books that have been written by CEOs and business titans, and while that's kind of nice and they are the celebrities in the business world, they just kind of talk a lot of times in general principles, whereas Roseanne Badowski is somebody who's down there. She's in the trenches with us. She's down in the street fighting the battles day to day, and there's a lot of interesting small lessons from those day-to-day battles that we can apply in our workplaces today. So hopefully this is helpful, and I've got two helpful panelists back with me today, and somebody who's really helpful, Doris Brum.
Well, hi, Bill. Well, this has been a great article on page 24. And one thing I liked about what we studied yesterday was that this lady, she's got a funny name. It's a Polish name.
Polish name.
Badowski, whenever S-K-I at the end, it's usually a Polish name. Right? But she learned many what she called crucial techniques for solving problems. Because almost every day you have some kind of problem. You think, oh, everything's solved, and another problem. Could be something in the world, in the economy, not necessarily in the company. But I think solving problems is a big part of what people can do to help each other. Nobody has all the answers.
No.
She was good at solving problems, and she kept up her energy and so forth. So I think one of her main things was just kind of keeping arranging things and solving the problems so he could do the job.
That's right. And it was a tough job. We talked a little bit about Jack Welch's career yesterday. It was an amazing run of reforming GE in a big way from a manufacturing company for years, making light bulbs and dishwashers, and into a broad aeronautics and financial services company.
Yeah. So that was a little bit of Jack Welch's career. And one thing I wanted to ask you about, Josh, is Roseanne Badowski's career, because we did talk a little bit off the air about that, and I know you did some research into it. And it's actually quite fascinating, and I think it fits in well with this article.
Yes. If you Google, there's one article that was about Roseanne back in 2000. And it was the year before Jack Welch retired, when his calendar was the most in demand. Mm-hmm. So they wanted to know who was the woman that was controlling this calendar that said at the time he was a year and a half booked.
Mm-hmm. That's too much. That's really too much, isn't it?
So it said,
it's busy.
Where did you get your start? And yes, we learned yesterday she was with GE for 25 years, started out as a secretary, and then went down the management track.
Yep.
She got a business degree while she was working and became a junior manager and was moving up the corporate ladder when this opportunity came around that to her at first seemed like moving backwards.
Right.
Moving from a junior manager to a secretary seemed like a step that perhaps she shouldn't have made. But she said it was a meeting, the first meeting she had with Jack Welch really changed her mind because they hit it off. They had such great chemistry, and the rest is history.
And in fact, that actually might have been a better opportunity. It was a better opportunity for her to step off of the management track to be Jack Welch's executive assistant, because just think of the opportunities she had, the people she met.
Mm-hmm.
Think of the people she met. She actually would meet presidents of the United States.
And other countries.
And other countries' presidents, other corporate CEOs and chairmen that she would meet just right there in the office, have a chance to talk with them, travel the globe.
Yeah.
Because she would be traveling with him many times too. So she made a good choice. And certainly, I think what that highlights is, you know, she is obviously, you've got to be very intelligent to handle this position.
And full of energy.
And full of energy, which we did talk about yesterday. And that's another thing I want to emphasize for our listeners. That's why you should not be up till 2 a.m. surfing the internet.
Watching YouTube videos.
Every night. Because you need energy the next day at work, and that will help you in your career if you got some life in you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good advice.
All right. Let's get on with our readings for today. Page 25, we'll split it up into two sections. So our first reading today will be that right column, and the first section is called The Basic Principles of Managing Up.
The Basic Principles of Managing Up. Some of the basic principles Badowski addresses in Managing Up include: managing is not the exclusive property of MBA graduates. At times, we are all managers, and we are all support staff. Those who manage up have to think and act like managers. A good manager is a student of cause and effect. It's not good enough to be aware of what's happening around you. You must also know why it is happening. If you are not helping, you are hindering. Ask yourself, did the work I performed today help achieve a goal?
Okay, the basic principles of managing up, and we've got managing up there in italics because that is the title of the book by Roseanne Badowski.
Bill, let me ask you that. What do you mean managing up? I mean, managing is one thing. Do you manage down and manage up? What do you think her point was? And that's kind of catchy.
Yeah, normally most people think of, well, my manager at work, right? And so we think of our manager as the boss over maybe a team of 8 or 10 people who manages down. But in this case, she's talking about her managing her manager, which was one of the terms we had yesterday, managing her manager. And that's actually assisting, maybe even in a gentle way, guiding Jack Welch, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of a different idea. The basic principles of managing up, managing somebody above you. Maybe women have to manage their husbands that way. Managing up, you know. He's in charge, but you got to help. You
it's
know?
All an illusion
kind of
in my house,
managing
right?
Managing up.
Well, there's a certain way of doing that.
Right.
You certainly don't want to go to your boss and say and make a demand of your boss or tell your boss what to do. But you might want to gently suggest something.
Help
or
him.
Suggest a couple of options.
Maybe
right?
You forgot that. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And I think an effective relationship between that, it is a partnership, right, Doris?
Right.
You are made more efficient by the management principles of your executive assistant.
And I think you probably do appreciate it sometimes if you are being managed up because you don't need to be making 1,000 decisions a day, right?
That's important for people to work together as a team.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now, first point here in this section, I really liked it.
It says that managing is not the exclusive property of MBA graduates.
Yeah, so now, And I'll tell you what, again, going back to this idea of executive assistant, we might think of our initial image is, okay, oh, somebody's got an MBA from Stanford or Cal or some big school, right? And we are certainly impressed. And then we meet somebody who is an executive assistant, and we immediately have this stereotypical response. But I have met many executive assistants in my career who actually were sharper than some of the MBAs I've met.
Absolutely. Yeah. Getting that degree, the master's in business administration, doesn't automatically make you a great manager. And it says it's not the exclusive property, meaning they're not the only ones who can do the managing in a company.
Mm. Well, that same thing works. Like you could be a PhD and study educational philosophies and not be a good teacher.
Mm-hmm.
So some of these skills are not – I mean, they help you in school, but that isn't what makes you. You have to do it yourself.
Right. Now, the next one is interesting, shows that we must be flexible, right, Doris?
Yes. And we have to – naturally, we have to support the staff and think about it. But if you're not flexible and changeable, then you won't be good at doing that. You have to find out what's causing the problem and then do something about it.
That's right, meaning that there's times where we all can step up in our job and be the CEO of the area around mm-hmm. us, the things that influence us. But at times, even the CEO has to act like the support staff. Yeah. And, you know, answer the phone or pick up trash or do something that may seem beneath them because we're all a team.
That's right.
The next one kind of fits in with this. Those who manage up have to think and act like managers. And I really like this because in many cases, in many companies, I see employees who I would say the word is abdicate responsibility. They just don't really want to act like managers. Mm-hmm. They don't want to take ownership. They don't want to take responsibility for things. But we all need to do that if we actually want to see the business succeed.
And they say it's not my problem, you know.
Right. Or not my job. Yeah. Not my job description. Mm-hmm. Right. Too many people see their responsibilities only limited to what is on, you know, their job description.
Right. Next one says a good manager is a student of cause and effect. What does that mean, Doris?
Well, actually, if you want to manage something, you have to find out what the problem is. So if you are a student of what caused it and what's going to happen if you do it, then you can keep it from happening. If you do this, that will happen. If you don't do this, this will happen. So you have to understand that. If it's raining, might be a flood, you better put up the floodgates. So you have to know what happens if you do or don't do something.
Yep. Okay, next one, Josh.
Well, it says it's not good enough to be aware of what's happening around you. You must know why it's happening. And that's related to the idea of cause and effect, but it's just that idea of what are the factors I'm not seeing with my own eyes that might be influencing my boss's attitude or why that meeting didn't go well. What are the kind of big picture influences on a company?
Yeah, you make a good point. Everybody could sit in the meeting and say, this did not go well. But the person who's paying attention says, well, here's the reason why, and this is what we're going to change next time so the next meeting goes well, right? So the PowerPoint doesn't completely bomb.
Right.
Or so everybody's not sleeping. We need to change something. So, all right. Now, if you're not helping, you're what?
You're hindering. So if you're not helping people out, then you're hurting things. So that's very important. Everybody has some effect on the company. You could be a positive or negative effect. And you have to realize that you want to be positive. Don't be somebody right. who hurts the company.
Yeah. And I've also heard it another saying is that you're either getting better or you're getting worse. You never really
stay the same. That's
you're
right.
not staying the same. Especially because of the competitive nature of the business world. And the way technology is changing. So you're getting better or getting worse. You're either helping or hindering. So don't get in the way. Help lift up the team. And the next one.
Well, it says, ask yourself, did the work I performed today help achieve a goal? And this is, I think, the rarest quality I've seen in Ms. Podowski's writing, is it seems she did a lot of self-evaluation mm-hmm. in her job, which I right. think is rare in employees today.
What did I do that really helped today? That's great.
As a leader for several decades, have you run across that very often?
Not very often, but some people will think about it, and those people are the ones who really are more positive in helping the company. If they're thinking about things, I feel good about it because we did this, and because this, people are going to buy the magazine and so forth. So that's kind of nice to evaluate that.
All right. We've talked about some of the things that make a great executive assistant. Actually, just take this and change it, which make a great employee. What are some of the things, Doris, over time that maybe has kind of driven you crazy when it comes with some of the people? And we don't need specific examples, but generally, what frustrates you about employees?
Well, I think the thing that frustrates us the most is when people don't look at the big picture. They only look at what affects them personally. But if you take people who are able to see the cause and effect, to the way they're acting, then it's a lot easier. People who believe in teamwork, not what happens to me or you, what happens to the people who get our products? How are they accepting them? Are they helping them? Not just are we making a good product. So people can see the big picture are very helpful. Those who can't are worried about little tiny things. They're always bringing up little things that are not important, and those are most frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah, I know people get really pretty upset about their thing.
Something happens
in their corner of the world, and they get really upset about it, and then they'll make an issue about it without really thinking about the entire organization.
Right.
So what about communications? Do people communicate well enough?
Now, I think everybody needs to communicate better and also to share. You know, teamwork is a good word, but it's hard to do because when you're into teamwork, you don't always get your way.
Mm.
You have to say, well, I kind of think of this. You have to say what you think, but then, well, maybe let's try Josh's idea, see?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can say you have to take mine, but if I'm a good team player, I'll say, well, let's try Josh's way. So you have to be willing to try other people's ways, too.
Yep.
So teamwork is not easy for people.
Nope.
Okay.
Good lesson.
All right, and that actually leads right into our next reading, The Importance of Chemistry.
The Importance of Chemistry. While she addresses these issues and many smaller facets of managing up, she also explores the importance of chemistry. When she filled the job of the executive assistant to the CEO, the personal chemistry between her and Welch was crucial for both of them to achieve their personal and mutual goals. Describing why her first interview with Welch was so successful, she offers this piece of wisdom. Being fully effective springs from building a reputation for being a team player, demonstrating a willingness to accept responsibility, bringing new ideas to the job, and being productive. The real-life experiences she shares provide many lessons about resolving conflicts and effective communication. While expounding on the fundamental principles of managing up, she also professes some important points that have guided her along the way to success as an effective executive assistant. These points appear throughout every chapter as standalones that speak volumes in a few simple words. Some of these include such gems as make life easier for the person above you, and treating all employees equally is unfair to your star performers.
Okay, the importance of chemistry. Now, when I have that word chemistry there, am I talking about mixing up stuff in the lab?
No, you're talking about the way people get together and what the relationship is between people. Mo qi in Chinese, right? When we say, how did we react? Were we positive? Did we play off each other well? Or did we conflict?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, if you do mix the wrong things in the lab, it might blow up.
That's true.
So you've got to watch your chemistry in the lab, and you also have to watch it with people, you know.
If you mix the wrong people in the office, it might blow up.
There is something to
We've seen that.
We've seen that happen sometimes too, right? Yeah.
All right. Well, while Roseanne Badowski does address the issues listed up above, the basic principles, in many smaller facets of managing up, she also explores the importance of chemistry. Now, first off, facets, Josh.
Yeah, the pieces of, the components of something.
Okay, so she explores the importance of chemistry, and we get back into when she took that job as the executive assistant, Doris.
Well, you notice that they have their own personal goals and mutual goals. So they both have, they want to succeed as a person, but they also want the company to succeed. So you cannot just have personal goals, I'm going to be this, but you have to have mutual goals that what is for the good of the whole company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's important.
And so they had this, they had their goals and this chemistry that had to mix. It's so important because you're spending Jack Welch is almost spending as much time with this woman as his wife.
Maybe more.
And now think about the importance of chemistry in that.
That's right. The way their personalities mesh, you know, would one bring the other person up when they're feeling down or vice versa? And she said in an interview that was the main reason she took this job was just the way that they connected. They both came from working households and just had a similar philosophy about life.
I think you also have to have faith in that person. You have to believe. If you think that person is not reliable or trustworthy, then you can't work well with them. You have to believe that that person is being truthful and honest. That's kind of part of the chemistry. And I also think that if you don't always agree, every time that person says something, you disagree, you can't have good chemistry.
No.
You also have to have the same principles and goals.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right, and willingness to maybe bend a little bit. So, yeah, I may be wrong. This guy might be right.
Well, fundamentally, you have to believe in the same things.
Yeah. So on the right column, then, we start out that column by saying, describing why her first interview with Welch was so successful.
Well, she offers a piece of wisdom, a little bit of advice or insight to help us in our lives. It says, being fully effective springs from building a reputation for being a team player. And if you're a team player, it just means that you are thinking not just about yourself, but how the organization works as a whole.
Okay. And then we have an idiom there I just underlined, springs from. That means it comes from that thing. It's a reputation. You want to be viewed as a team player, not a self-seeker, right?
That's right. Not in it for yourself.
Right.
Well, so you also have to be willing to accept responsibility, because if we're doing something together and we had a meeting and then it didn't work out and I say, well, that was Josh's idea. That wasn't mine. See, I'm not have any responsibility. Well, we decided it together. So not to blame. If you can keep blame out of things, you really work well. Blaming people does not solve any problems.
Right.
That's how you spell it. Be lame is how you spell.
Yeah, don't blame. Don't blame anybody. Don't be lame, huh?
Hey, you know, I'm also thinking about this accepting responsibility. I'm thinking about meetings where you've been in meetings, Doris, and you've asked people, okay, I need somebody to write report A. And then there's 10 people sitting there. How many times have we been in meetings where then the boss looks around and like everybody that's all of a sudden looks down at the table, right? Now, part of accepting responsibility, being a team player, might be to raise your hand and say, I'll do it, right?
But what if you did try something and it didn't work and you say you didn't make the deadline? Well, that was your fault. They don't take any responsibility. You know, you have to take responsibility.
All right. So bring new ideas to the job and also being productive. So we see here that the real-life experiences she shares,
well, they provide many lessons about resolving conflicts and effective communication.
Okay. And we did talk about that. The one, effective communication, great, but also this conflict thing. Conflicts can happen, just even tiny ones, right?
That's right. But I think the thing with communication is actually not just telling people something, but it's connecting. Mm. And that book on communicating and connecting is a very good book that we talked about. Because if you don't connect when you communicate, you're talking, and nobody listens. So you have to say things in the way that people understand them and feel them.
That's right.
All right. Now, the next sentence here, we have a word in there, expounding, Doris.
Well, expounding means to talk about it more and more. So when you have to keep letting people know this, then you say, what are the important things? She tells us important things that guide us to her. And then she tells those in the book. And these are some things that help me. She lets us know more and more about him, more details.
All right. And she expounds on those principles of managing up. She also?
Well, she professes some important points. And when you profess something, it means you're not teaching it like a professor. You're claiming something. And this is what you believe. This is what you think is true. You profess your faith, let's say, in a religion. In this case, she's professing important points that have guided her along the way to success as an executive assistant.
Okay, and these points do appear throughout every chapter of her book, Managing Up. And there's also, they appear as standalones that speak volumes in a few simple words. What does that mean if something speaks volumes, Doris?
Well, that means it tells you more than you can imagine, not just one thing, but it tells you many, many things you never thought of.
All right. And I like this next one. I always use this too. Some include such gems. I use gems sometimes to describe a sentence or a word or something is like precious and valuable.
Valuable, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Like a diamond. This statement coming out is so valuable. And what are some of those gems?
Well, make life easier for the person above you. And that is certainly a wonderful trait in an assistant.
Some people make it harder.
I was going to say, don't make it more difficult. You
won't
get a job
long. It's hard enough as it is without you that are working with me doing that, you know.
Yeah.
You want to make it easier for them.
Make it easier. And then also, what's this next one, Doris?
That's kind of strange. You know, you think treating all employees equally would be good. But they said it's unfair to your star performers. In other words, let's just say you're going to give a bonus. And some people don't do anything. They won't stay late. They don't do anything. You say, well, we have to give everybody a bonus. Well, if one person has worked very hard many days and then a special project, I say, let's give them a little extra bonus. But everybody in that department doesn't get it.
That's right.
Now, some people will say, that's unfair. We all work here. But you cannot treat everybody the same because some are putting more into it and they deserve a little edge sometimes. Do you think so, Bill?
I think so. And I think it's a challenging concept for a lot of employees to accept. But you do have to realize there are certain people that do produce more for the company than others.
And does that contradict what we've been saying these last 2 days about being a team player? Well, if, you know, are you a – every team has certain stars.
You know why you want to do this too? Thinking back to a competitive and corporate world, why you want to do this? If you don't treat your star performers well, you know what? Somebody else is going to come along and treat them better, and they're going to leave. So you better take care of them or else they're
going to go. That's different than favoritism too. It's really different. You know,
you're
just giving somebody something they deserve. But you know, one thing in that little box that we have in the top there, Bill, it says managing up is a primer, or it's a beginning book for any manager who wants to make working with a boss more efficient, productive, and satisfying. And don't you think that's what we all want to do?
That's everybody.
That's everybody. So, and there's a couple of other words in here that are really pretty good here that she talks about.
It says, along with her experienced words of wisdom that can be applied to most working situations and relationships, Badowski also delivers a behind-the-scenes storybook about the business tactics and skills of Jack Welch, as seen by somebody who knows him so well that she remains an indispensable part of his business dealings to this day.
Well, I hope what she says is okay, because she might not be part of it if she isn't. But she says, it's, you know, she's still indispensable to him. He still needs her. So she's going to be loyal. She's not going to say anything against him, but she's going to tell you some insights you might not know.
Indispensable. Can't do without the person. And then we see here in this next one, talk about her personal experiences with Welch, as she talks about the interactions and informative lessons. There's the word in there, the epitome of the effective boss.
Right. If someone's the epitome of, it's like the best example you could give.
Okay.
Of something, and shows this is this tried and tested relationship that they had was really one of the best examples of how a CEO and his assistant or her assistant works together.
Okay. Listeners, thanks for joining us here for this speed review. It's been great. I hope it's helpful for you in your day-to-day operations in your job. We're all managers, not just employees. We're owners. Take ownership of your role in your company. Thanks for being here. Come on back next time. Till then, this is Bill,
Josh,
and Doris
saying goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.